the local church, and a lot of people, maybe you're yawning already, I don't know, I didn't look, so I don't know, but financial advisors would advise you, if you have extra money, that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversification is the word. If you're going to invest, don't put it all in one spot. But when it comes to your life, God has different advice for you. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, 8. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read the introduction. You're in the right spot, Joel. I'm not. Okay. Let me back up just a hair. If we'll stand, we're going to honor God as we read our morning reading, and then we'll get started. I'm already on the start. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us then consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You may be seated. Sorry I got ahead of myself, but as we mentioned, when you're investing, the idea is don't put all your eggs in one basket, but when you're investing your life, which you are, whether you know it or not, you're literally spending your life, you're saving it, using it for however you want, but in that, the Lord says, don't diversify. Simplify. Come to one center point. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What the Lord wants us to do, instead of diversifying our life and having all kinds of different interests and all kinds of hobbies and ways we spend our lives, he wants us to narrow it down to a center. He wants to be your life. He wants to be the one that you're most concerned with, that you spend most of your time with, that you invest your life, your whole life, for his glory. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said something very interesting, counterintuitive to the way most people think today. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Two marks of a disciple. Anybody remember what they are? Anybody? I'll give you a second. You follow the teachings of the master, and you also follow the life of the master. That's what a disciple does. Why do we have to die to ourselves to do it? Because we don't think like Jesus thinks, and we don't live like Jesus lives. And so unless we change our way of thinking and our way of living, we won't be his disciple. You can say you're his disciple. I'm a Christian. Is every Christian a disciple of Christ? No, they're not. They're a child of God. They've confessed their sin. They've received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But every Christian is not a disciple. Not every Christian you know lives honestly. When we were in St. Charles, we had a young man attending our church. This was back years and years ago, probably 45 years ago. And he was a nice young man. But he went to work, solar power was just starting to come in then. And he went to work at a solar power place in St. Charles, and they were selling the solar power, and a fellow came in and asked at the register. Now, the young man didn't do it himself, but the young man was standing there. A man came in and said, hey, this building here, it's a pretty good size. It's the old Peshonic Dodge dealership in St. Charles, where this place was at after Peshonic went out. But he said, are you heating this whole place with solar? And he goes, oh, absolutely. Folks, that wasn't true. They had a stove in the back. they were not heating the place with solar because solar wasn't very good when it first came in. Christians sometimes lie. Oh my. Christians sometimes cheat on their taxes. Oh my. They're not following. They're not a disciple. And so when we look at Christians, we can't say they're all dying to themselves or all denying themselves. The idea of taking up your cross daily is when you're doing it, you're dying to yourself every day. I'm not going to live the way Jerry Larkin would like to live. Because Jerry Larkin's ways are not Christ's ways. I'm going to choose to deny myself. I'm going to choose to live for God. One of the ways that you do that as a Christian is by giving yourself totally all in to a local church someplace. Doesn't have to be this local church. It can be any good Bible preaching church that you can find any place in any community. But you decide, not only am I going to receive Christ Jesus as my Lord, but I'm going to be an active part of this local body. You know, when the New Testament talks about the church, it's almost always 94% of the time talking about a local church meeting in a particular building or a particular home, and it's certain people that are part or membership. Almost never talks about the church universal. Once in a great while it does, but most of the time it's a local church. Now, when we talk about the body, the local church, you know, there's something interesting sitting in every pew here this morning. Something that we take pretty much for granted. And it's our own physical body. You know, the Bible says some very interesting things about our body, but we pretty much take it for granted. We just figure it's always going to work the way it's always worked. I want to tell you a few things about your body that maybe you don't know. Do you know that your heart beats 100,000 times every single day? Now, folks, to me, that's pretty amazing. Your heart, 100,000 beats every day, and I don't even think about it. Never praise the Lord. I don't know if I've ever praised the Lord for my heart, but it's a remarkable thing. Your blood every single day travels 60,000 miles. In your own body. Do you understand the earth is only 24,000 miles around? That means what? That means your blood is going three times around the earth every single day. What a remarkable thing your body is. Our eyes can distinguish 100 or 1 million color surfaces. In other words, your eye is so intricate, it's better than the best telescope or microscope man has. You can see things a million different shades of colors. Our lungs, this is amazing too to me, our lungs breathe in every single day 2 million liters of air. Now, if you got a 2-liter bottle of pop, you got a pretty good size, so 1 liter, but 2 million of those every single day. If you took the lungs that are in your chest right now and you actually laid it out flat, do you know how big it would be? It would cover a tennis court. Folks, that's amazing. Just your little lungs, if you stretched it all out and you broke all those little fibers down and spread them out, that's the area it would cover. God has fearfully and wonderfully made us. Our hearing is so sensitive. It can distinguish between hundreds of thousands of different sounds. Now, my ears are not quite so sensitive anymore. Too many ears in the factory. But a young person's ears especially. It's amazing the different sounds we can hear. Our brain is more complex than the most powerful computer on this earth. Your brain, no matter how smart you might be, believe it or not, has 1 billion nerve cells. And all those nerve cells are interconnected with each other in remarkable ways. Your brain is remarkable. We give birth to 100 billion red blood cells every day. So what is that saying on the other side? 100 billion are dying every day. Your body is remarkable. When we touch something with your hands, you send a message that goes to your brain at 124 miles an hour, believe it or not. As soon as you touch that, it's there. 124 miles an hour. If you have ADD, maybe you're a little faster than most of us, but that's pretty fast. We're about 70% water. And Mimi says, I'm all wet. Well, that's why, because it's mostly water. Your nose is your personal air conditioner and heater. When you're in hot weather, your nose actually cools that heat before it gets into your lungs. If you're in cold, the nose actually warms it up before it gets into your lungs. 1 square inch of your hand, if you just took a little piece like that, 1 square inch, you have 600 pain sensors. 600 points on that little 1-inch square will tell you if something's picking you. In that same 1-inch square, you have 9,000 nerve endings. You have 36 heat sensors and 75 pressure sensors. Your body, your human body, is truly amazing. In your body, you have copper and zinc and cobalt and calcium, magnesium, phosphates, nickel, and silicone. No question about it, the human body is a remarkable creation of God. If you look at Psalm 139, verse 14, here's what David said about his own body. He says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. As remarkable as your body is, your physical body, it's temporary. Remember what David said at the very end of that last verse? He said, all the days ordained for me were written where? In your book before one of them came to be. What does that mean? That means God knows the very day I'm going to die. And he knew that day before I was even born. Folks, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but in this church, in your pew, sits your physical body, but it's temporary. But in this same church you're sitting in, you are part of the body, the local body of the church of Jesus Christ. And that body is eternal. And the church is remarkable in itself. You are part, if you've joined the church, you're part of a local church, and it's important. You are a functioning organ in the church. Just like we talked about your hearts and your lungs, believe it or not, you as a person who have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and joined your local church are an organ in the body of Christ. Every local church has people that have decided that I'm all in. I'm here not just to receive, but I'm here to give as well. Do you know every organ you have in your body is set up that way? Your heart, if you took your heart out of your chest and you set it over on the shelf, how would your heart do? It would die, wouldn't it? And so would the rest of your body, because it's a vital organ. We look at ourselves in the church and we don't think of ourselves as a vital organ in the local church. But you are. The Lord saved you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it talks about how special you are to your local church. For just as each of us has one body with many members, talking about your heart, your fingers, your lungs, your feet, all the rest, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. What does that mean? That means that in the local church, when you join your local church, you're a functioning organ in the body, and you're needed. You can't just come and just sit and expect the body to function well. It won't work that way. That's why so many churches today are desperate shape. Churches are closing. I don't know if you know this or not, but thousands of churches are closing. Number one, people aren't coming anymore. Number two, people don't want to serve anymore. I mentioned in Sunday school, we went to a youth rally. I've been working with youth now for over 50 years. When we were at Trinity Baptist in St. Charles, it was the same group of churches that were meeting together, and we would meet together. It was about 20 churches. And we would have 200 to 300 kids every time we met. It was just amazing. All these kids were meeting other kids, and later on they'd start dating a girl that lived in Carroll or a boy that lived in Flint because they met him at the youth rallies. It was just wonderful. But today we went, the other day, we took four kids here, and there was only one church there. Carol, where we went. What's going on? People are not seeing the importance of being involved in their local churches. It's an amazing thing. To be a member of something, particularly of a local church, brings up different ideas in different people's minds. Some people think of the church as some place that pay your dues. Folks, that's all they think about. When I first got saved, my dad said, that's good. You can go there and you can make a lot of business connections. Some people think of the church as a place where you can come and you can make business connections and do deals and make money. Everybody has a different idea. But the church, as the Bible paints the picture, is the body of Christ. And if you're part of the body of Christ, you are needed of the local church to do your part. All of us have different parts. We're not all made the same. There's no doubt about it. Some people have beautiful voices, and they ought to be singing in their local churches. Some people are wonderfully talented in teaching, and they ought to be teaching something in their local church. One of the visions that I have for our church, we're looking for a church van right now. Soon as we get it, somebody ought to drive that van to do what? Bring us some boys and girls. If we don't get boys and girls and young families in this church, what's going to happen to this church in about 15 years? We're going to close the doors. So somebody needs to drive a van. We got all kinds of things that people could be doing, but everybody says, I'm not all into that. I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to do that. In fact, you know, I really don't want to do much of nothing. Folks, if you're like that, you're like the heart taken out of the chest. You're not going to continue to function well. We need to find an area of service to serve one another. The Bible says as each part of the church does its work, the whole thing grows up in love. And so there are things that need to be done. Just as the organs in the body fulfill their responsibilities for the good of the whole body, each member of each local church ought to be examining their heart between them and the Lord and saying, Lord, how have you gifted me and how can I use it for your glory in my local church? People would say, you know, our church is so small. It doesn't matter. We just let it die. You know, I've been the pastor here now 27 years and it's been small most of that time. We got up to about 60 or 70 and then COVID hit and we went back down. But I want to tell you, large or small, every year people are getting saved here. People are coming to faith in Christ here. I don't know how many hundreds of people have been saved because of the ministry of this church while I've been here, but I know it's in the hundreds. That's going to make a difference for all eternity. Little churches, and a lot of people laughed, you only got 80 members, you only got 30, you only got 20. Do you know the average church in America is less than 100 people? Little churches are important just as much as big churches are important. And the church will grow as each part does its work. Now, the author of Hebrews, talking about the church, gave us a few things that we need to think about. So, number one, why should I be a member of a local church of Jesus Christ? Why should you determine, I'm not just going to be an attender, I'm going to join in the fellowship of that local church. Do you know the New Testament always assumes membership in a local church? Always. It's never that you just attended. It's always that you joined. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What the Lord is saying is when you join into a local church, you're saying, I'm part of this local body, and I'm going to do my part. Now, I'm not telling you what your part is because everybody's wired different, and the Lord will tell you what your part is. That's His job, not mine. But every believer ought to be all in whichever local church they belong to. And again, it doesn't have to be here. There are lots of good churches. If you don't feel that you can fit in here and you don't feel you can do any service here, then you're probably in the wrong church. And you ought to find one where you can use your giftedness for God's glory. But I want to tell you, you can be used here. There's all kinds of possibilities. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 again, the author says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, the habit of not attending church regularly is nothing new in our time. When the church first started, there were those that just came when they felt like coming. It's like having your kids in sports. They got 5 games coming up. You got a job to do. How many games can you get to? Well, I can't get to them all, so I'll just get to whatever I can. And we take the church the same way. We just kind of figure, well, when I can make it, I'll make it. When I can't, I won't. And everything is going to be just fine. But if you're a vital organ and you don't show up, what happens? Something's not going to work right. It's very important. The author said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What are the benefits of regular attendance and church membership? Let me give you a couple that he talked about here. And I'm also going to talk about some other things that are very important for you to understand. They're physical benefits, whether you know it or not. According to a study from Indiana's Purdue University, published in the Journal for Scientific Study of Religion, people who joined a church and attended regularly and get involved in the church get sick much less often than those who don't. I didn't do the study. It's a scientific study in a scientific journal. In fact, it was found that non-church members who never attend church or participate in the church were more than twice as likely to report health problems each year than those who were members. Is that scientific? I don't know. Said it is. I don't know. God knew what He was doing when He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, if you think being in a church isn't worth your time, let me give you another little safety tip here. Don't ride in automobiles. They cause 20% of all fatal accidents. Don't stay home. 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Don't walk on the streets or the sidewalk. 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Do not travel by air, rail, or water. 16% of all accidents happen by these 3 means of transportation. But do by all means attend your local church. Do you realize that 0.001% of all deaths occur in a local church? Folks, you're safest right here. I gotta tell you, that's good news to me. I like it. Safest place you can be is in your local church. Now, I'm not saying accidents don't happen and people don't die, but it's very, very rare in a local church that people do. There's also emotional benefits of joining and being active in a local church. And again, I didn't come up with this. This is scientific studies. Connecticut Mutual Life Insurance Company studied people who had joined a church, were actively involved in their local church, who actually prayed and read their Bibles and surrendered their lives to Christ. And this is what it came up with. Church attenders are twice as likely to say their home life is happy. You know, having a happy home life is not easy today. But churchgoers, over half, say their home life is happy. Number 2. Church attenders are almost twice as likely to believe that their work contributes to society. There are so many people today that are working their jobs that don't see any way that it helps anybody. I'm just here to make the money. That's all it is. I don't care. Churchgoers realize that the least they do, the wife in the home washing those dishes, can rejoice in the Lord because she's taking care of her family for Christ's glory. It makes all the difference in the world where your heart is. Church attenders are more than twice as likely to reconcile marriage differences than non-churchgoers. Twice as likely to make your marriage last. Church attenders are 6 times more likely to do community volunteer work. When you see our communities going today and you see things happening in your local community, do you realize that 60% of those people that are doing that work are churchgoers? That's what it says. More importantly, there are spiritual benefits that come from regular attendance and getting involved in your local church. I just want to go over a few of them real quick. Identity. Just as a uniform says this man's in the Navy or the Marines or the Army or Air Force, your membership in a local church identifies you as a Christian. When you stay home on Sunday morning and you think the neighbors don't notice, the neighbors notice. You claim to be a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you have to be here every time the doors are open, because there are times when I'm gone too. Vacations are important. I think everybody ought to do it. But when you're in the area and the church is open and you're a vital member, an organ in the church, guess what? You're needed. It's important to come. So identity, number one. Maturity. Do you know the way you grow in knowledge of the Word of God and the things of God best is by serving others? Folks, that's been proven over and over and over. If you want to learn how to play the piccolo, what do? You get involved in a band and you start playing the piccolo. You start to practice. Same thing here. Let's just say your gift was teaching. What's the best way to learn how to teach Sunday school? Go down and sit with the teacher that's teaching Sunday school. Listen to what they do. Observe what they do. Start to study the scriptures. Get involved. And all at once, guess what you're doing? You're teaching Sunday school. It's an amazing thing. I got to tell you, my daughter Amy still has girls when they see her. My daughter Amy taught Awana, and some of these girls still see her 5-10 years after she's done it and still identify with her. It's wonderful to see your old students growing in the Lord. Ministry. The church gives you a place to discover not only your spiritual gifts, but a place to use your spiritual gifts. Abraham Lincoln said something interesting years ago. He said, I suppose people are just about as close to the Lord as they want to be. Folks, how close to the Lord do you want to be? How close to your local church do you want to be? How involved do you want to get? Are you all in, or are you saying, well, I'm going to be on the fringes. I just want to observe. I just want to be a friend. I want to come. Well, if you're going to mature in your faith, you've got to get a ministry in your local church and start serving. Authority. Every church has authority over every member in a sense of trying to keep us on track and keep us going. If you were to leave here and go to another church, you wouldn't see me. I wouldn't bug you at all. But if you leave here and you don't go to any church, guess what? I'm going to try to get a hold of you. Not to get you back here, because I understand everybody isn't meant to be in this local church. But believe me, you are meant to be in a local church someplace. You're meant to be ministering someplace. Accountability. Folks, you ought to find people in this church that are good and friendly people, that love the Lord, that love you, that you can share your heart with. You can trust them to keep their mouths shut and their hearts open. We pray for each other. We minister to each other. Accountability is important. So what should I become as a member of a local church? What is God's plan for you in whatever local church you want to go to? In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Lord talks about this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This idea of being part of a local church, I want you to see the order of events. And and examine your own life as I go through this and see if this is what's happened to you. Number one, they believed. What did they believe? They believed that Jesus Christ was God. They believed that Jesus Christ, God from heaven who created all this, became a man. They believed that that man shed his blood on the cross to pay for their sins. They trusted in him. They acknowledged him as their Lord and their Savior. Number two, they were baptized. Let me ask you. Number one, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you acknowledge him as the Creator, the Master of all? And have you received him as the one who washes away your sin? Number two, have you yet been baptized by immersion? If not, folks, that's the order. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Number three, they joined the local church. They were added to the number. Are you an active member in a local church somewhere? That's what God says they did. And number four, they committed themselves to regularly meeting for worship. Are you regular in your attendance for worship? Immediately, you notice something different about the people here in church today. The church today, not only for church, but for every area of life, people in our society do not want to make a commitment. How many people here today know people that are living together, maybe even have children without marriage? Almost everybody, don't we? Why is that? Because they don't want to make a commitment. A commitment when, if I marry you, you're going to make a commitment before God and before the people that are assembled for your wedding till death us do part. We're going to find a way. We're going to make this work. Folks, when you get married, you're marrying a sinner. And so is he or she. There are no perfect people. We like that romantic idea that when we get married, everything's just going to be wonderful, we're going to have a family, and everything's going to be perfect. That's not reality, folks. We're going to have a family, we're going to love each other, but man, there's going to be some bitter trials along the way. It's going to take a commitment. People who have children outside of marriage, they stay together until the romance or the heat of the moment is gone, and now they've got two or three kids, and dad or mom, because both do it now, just walk away. What happens to the kids? Folks, because of a lack of commitment, things are not happening the way God wants it to happen today. God meant one man and one woman for life. God means for you to get active in a local church and to make it grow. That's what life's about. It's a commitment to other Christians. We think of the church just as a meeting. Maybe we've got 20 people here, 30, I don't know, 15, I don't know what it is. But we think of it just a local assembly that doesn't matter much. I want to read this out of the scriptures. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Just want to hit it real briefly with you. This is the way God looks at the church. And you compare how you look at your local church, the one that you go to, do you look at it the same way he does? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Do you look at your local church as a pillar and foundation of the truth? Do you know, parents, what your kids are being taught in school today? They're being taught that they evolved from an amoeba. And that amoeba became a 4-cell and then an 8-cell and then a 16-cell and then a monkey and then a man. The church says, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. God created man and woman in his image from the dust of the ground. Your kids in school today are being taught that they don't know if they're a boy or a girl. They asked the U.S. Supreme Court nominee coming in, can you define what a woman is? And she said, no, I cannot define what a woman is. Folks, I can. It's pretty simple. It's an amazing thing to me. We need the church to keep people on God's track with what his word teaches, because his word is the truth. Your local church, 30 people, 50 people, 80 people, some 1,000 in membership, is supposed to be a pillar and foundation of the truth. And you get to be part of that. You get to say to your kids and your grandkids, no, honey, I know that's what they're teaching you. I know you have to learn that, but it's not true. Folks, a whole lot of what your kids are being taught today in the public school system is not true. And they need to be in a Sunday school having teachers downstairs telling them, no, it's not true, because it's not. Folks, God has a plan, and his plan is to use every local church and to use you as a main organ in that church to maintain the truth. Because the truth is being thrown to the ground today. Back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, one more time. Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We had Sunday school this morning. We had 7 people here, 6 people here, I don't know. How much encouragement would it be if next Sunday there were 14 people here? And the Sunday after that, 30? Would it change things? I know it's a lot to ask, but you know, one of the things that is written there in Hebrews 10, 24, there's a ministry everybody in this church can do, and that's the ministry of encouragement. Encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage each other to keep growing, to keep going for God's glory. So where should I belong as a member of the local church? Where? It doesn't have to, I mentioned, it does not have to be here. It can be any good local Bible preaching church. So, you know, many times people give more consideration to where they're going to eat dinner today than they do about why they attend their local church. What are some things that you ought to be looking for in a local church to decide, is this where I want to attend? Number one, and this is most important to me, I hope it is to you, is my local church faithful to the Word of God? Folks, I got to tell you, there's a lot of churches that are not faithful to the Word of God at all. You better stay away because they're teaching things that ought not to be taught. There are churches today teaching that homosexuality is perfectly acceptable with God and it's a blessing. There are churches today teaching that abortion is just fine. It's part of God's working. There are churches today teaching all kinds of things that you can be saved by being a good person. Or you can keep these 5 rules or these 13 rules and you'll be just fine. It's all not according to the Word of God. So the Word of God preached every week faithfully should be your number one concern with whatever church you might choose in years to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather on them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. In John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so you want to find a church that preaches the word of God faithfully. And when I say faithfully, it's the best you can understand it. When I first got saved, I had so many questions because I was taught before I got saved at about 24, 25, if you live a good life, you're going to be just fine. You're going to get to heaven. And so when Pastor Williams, my old pastor, told me that's not going to work too good because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. When I heard that, I had to really search the scriptures. And as I began studying the scriptures, I came up with all kinds of questions. And the wonderful thing was, Pastor Williams could take me to the scriptures and show me the answers. That's what you want. Number two, worship. Find a church where the worship is uplifting to you. There are various styles of worship. You've got to find what fits you best. And let me just mention to you, if what we do here in worship doesn't fit you, then get involved with the worship and help us to make it even better. Maybe you have a gift in that area. We could use it. We're not opposed to that. But style isn't nearly as important as substance. Regardless of which style a church uses, make sure that it brings the glory to the Lord and not to the person doing the music. I've seen some music directors that it's all about them. I've seen soloists come up that it's all about them. It shouldn't be that way. Whatever worship we have ought to be focused towards the glory of the Lord. Nothing wrong with saying, boy, that was really a beautiful solo you did, but it should always be for the glory of the Lord. In Psalm 96, verse 8, it says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. When you come into your local church, whether it's here or wherever, get involved with the worship. Don't just sing the words. Think about what they're saying and actually worship the Lord. You can come to this church, you say, I didn't feel God there. Sometimes it's because you're not looking for God. You're not looking to worship God. You're not looking for intimacy and obedience to him, and you're not going to find him. If you come in here just to fill a pew, yeah, I can see why you could come and not see it. But he's here, and he loves you, and he wants to be part of you. Witness. Number three, you need to find a church that actually believes people without personal faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior are lost. They're not going to heaven. They won't pass go, and they won't collect $200. Folks, people without the Lord, if they die without personally receiving Christ as their Savior, are going to the lake of fire. This church should be a witnessing church, whatever church it is. They should be concerned about the lost. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You see, churches are still teaching today that the way to get right with God is by following the law or following our 10 rules. And folks, that's not what it's about. It's about personal faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done. So whatever church you go to, you ought to go to a church that's concerned about witnessing to the lost. And then the last one, work. Find a church where you can find something to do for Christ's glory. Find a church where you can use your giftedness to serve other people. Whether you know it or not, that's why you were made. You were made to be an organ in Christ's body for Christ's glory. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And now here's the key for what we're talking about today. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Believe it or not, God has given you a gift or multiple gifts that is to be used for his glory in a local church someplace. Again, it doesn't have to be this local church. You are free in that. You can choose any local church you want to choose. But whichever one you choose, go into it with the idea that I am going to serve the others in my church with what God has given me for God's glory. There's a little story told about a church needing help with its financial obligations. Everybody was asked to participate. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but do you know who did it? Nobody. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. When the church needed some people to help with the kids' ministry, somebody was asked to help. But somebody resented being called upon because anybody could have done it just as well as somebody could have. After all, it was everybody's job. In the end, the work was given to nobody, and nobody got it done. The process went on and on. Every task that needed to be done, nobody could be counted on to do it. Nobody visited the sick. Nobody gave liberally. Nobody shared his faith. In short, nobody was a very faithful member. Folks, I can't encourage you enough. Again, I'm not telling you have to do it here. But folks, if you're going to fulfill your God-given obligation, if you're going to fulfill what God made you for, you need to get active in a local church, serving in some capacity. It doesn't have to be what everybody else is doing. There's all kinds of things in every local church that need to be done. Don't wait for nobody to do it, because anybody can. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that you call us to be active. That doesn't mean we have to spend every minute at our local church doing nothing but serving. But it does mean, Lord, that if this church is going to prosper, if any church is going to prosper, your people have to become active. They have to get all in, or things are just going to fade away. Father, you said that your church can stand against the gates of hell. And I believe that with all my heart. But your church cannot stand when people won't serve. Father, put it into our hearts to ask you, Lord, what would you have me to do in this local church? Or Lord, should I find another local church where I can get active? Father, bless your people. Help us to be organs that are serving your body. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.